So last week we began the book of Jonah, and we're going to continue with Jonah for a few weeks. Just want to recap if you weren't here last week, or you were here last week and you were kind of sleepy, or we forget very easily, don't we? Jonah was a prophet, of course. The book is called a minor prophet. There are major prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, four of them. The rest are minor prophets, not because they're less important, but simply because they're shorter. Jonah is only 48 verses long. It's a very short book. Very short book. So he's a minor prophet. God asked him to do something. He said, Jonah, arise and go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. And tell them unless they get their lives sorted out, destruction awaits. But Jonah, as we know, as we mentioned last week, didn't want to go. He was the reluctant prophet. Became the runaway prophet who, instead of going to Nineveh, which was 550 miles northeast, up that way for him, or up this way for you. Instead, he went down to Joppa, he got on a boat, and he thought he would go on a cruise. Someone was like cruising. Well, he got on a cruise that didn't turn out to be a very pleasant cruise, but he got on the boat, the ship at Joppa, and went across the Mediterranean, heading for Tarshish, which is in southern Spain. 2,500 miles away. God went on him to go here, but he ran away towards there. The runaway prophet. Of course, he didn't make it. God had a plan. But he was reluctant to go to Nineveh because Nineveh, although it was a spectacular, sophisticated city, the capital of the Empire of Assyria, maybe the Hanging Babel, the Hanging Gardens, one of the wonders of the ancient world would have been found in Nineveh. This was a very sophisticated place, but a very evil place, very cruel people. They were enemies of Israel. So Jonah, being an Israelite, did not want them to be forgiven, did not want them to flourish, because if they did, that could be bad news for Israel. So that is why Jonah ran. And although Jonah was a prophet and he knew God and he knew his ways, he didn't understand. For who can understand the grace of God that reaches out beyond his own people to a foreign people, a cruel people? But God's grace reaches out to everyone. For God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to die on a cross. So Jonah did not get this in his head. He maybe understood it because he knew that God would do it. If he went and preached, the only reason God was sending a prophet was to give a warning, and when God gives a warning, you need to take heed. So he knew that God was gracious, that God was forgiving. So he ran away. Now God could have said, I'll get someone else to go, but he didn't do that. For God had a plan for Jonah. He had a plan for the Ninevites, who in their own way were running away from God. Jonah too, although he was a man of God, was running away from God. And we asked the question last week, are we running away from God? We can run away from God and not even realize it. But are we running away from God? So we want to work through this, and I'd love you to have your Bibles open, which is page 927. And I'd like you to have them open because we're going to work through it verse by verse, but just very quickly. But just so we don't miss any verse, and I want you to see it for yourself. It's such a small book. As you open it, it maybe just covers two pages. And mine, it covers two and a little bit. But page 927. Just so we can work our way through it and see there's so much in every story in the Bible. You could preach in every passage, a million sermons, and never get to the bottom of it. And we don't want to spend forever in Jonah, of course, but we want not to miss very much. So it begins, as we said, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Really important start. God is speaking. When God speaks, as we thought about last week, things happen. He spoke into the darkness of the universe and said, let there be light, and there was light. When God speaks, things happen. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, I want you to go to this great city. And that there's a word in the NIV that we're all using that is missing, and it's the word that means get up. And the original says, get up and go. And this, it just says go, but it says get up and go to that great city of Nineveh. Preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for the port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Most of the commentators who write on this make a big thing of the fact that Jonah paid the fare. Why you would say that? Jonah paid the fare and got on board to flee from God. And the idea is that every time we flee away from God, we run from God, there is a price to be paid. And we pay it. It could be the price of a broken relationship with the Lord. Often is. That's not a good thing. To be far from the God who made us. It is always costly. There's always a price to be paid. Last week I quoted Deuteronomy 30 and I said about how important it was in my journey. And it was as though God was speaking to me when I read those words. Now what I'm commanding you to do today is not too difficult for you. So it was the word of the Lord coming to me many decades ago. I'm very old. It's 1990. Gosh, isn't that awful? Long time. I'm getting so old. Not as old as you, Jim, but getting really old, you know. But in this same passage, it says here about the idea of turning your back on God, because this is actually Moses speaking to the people of Israel before they go into the promised land. And he says to them, you've got a choice to make. And it says here, see, today I set before you life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live, and you will increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you're entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you're not obedient, and if you're drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. This was the message for Nineveh also. If you turn away, you'll be destroyed. You will not live long in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. And today I call heaven and earth as witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, but choose life, that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord, I love this line, the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's always been the same. We're made for God, we're made in his image, we're made by him. Every atom in our body belongs to him. Every breath we take, every heartbeat, every pulse is a gift from him. Without him, there is no life. And he's saying back then, and he's saying to Jonah, and he's saying to the Ninevites, and he's saying to us today too, if you flee from me, you will pay the price. You will pay the fare. There's always a price tag. Paul talks in the New Testament, the wages of sin is death. There's a cost. We either run away from God and pay the cost ourselves, or we turn towards God, who paid the price on the cross. Someone pays the price. Who is it going to be? For Jonah, he ran away. He paid the fare. He got on board to head towards Tarshish. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. He wasn't going to get too far. The Lord sent a great wind. The word sent is a word that means throw. It's like throwing a party. I'm going to throw a party. God is throwing a violent wind. That's the word. He throws the wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid. And everyone cried out to his own God. As I often hear Andy say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Isn't that you, Andy? Everyone cried out to their own God. They're scared stiff. These experienced sailors. This is probably a time of year when it's good weather because they wouldn't sail in bad weather. But this storm came out of nowhere. They're scared stiff. Everyone cries out to their own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. We talked last week that this wasn't just a sleep of being tired, but running from God is exhausting. This is deeper than just simply being tired. This is a man who is running and he's completely exhausted. But Jonah had gone below deck where he'd fallen into deep sleep, and the captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God." The words that are used here are exactly the words that God speaks to him back in verse 2. Get up and call out. You don't really see it here in the English, but in the Hebrew it's exactly the same words. God says to Jonah, get up and call out to the people of Nineveh. And the captain is saying, get up and call out to your God. Exactly the same words. Get up, call out. God speaks. Someone who does not know God speaks. Isn't that amazing? For God can use people to speak into our lives. You don't need to be a Christian or for someone else to be a Christian to speak into your life. Other people can speak into your life. God can use anyone at all. And he used this captain. Get up, call out. And that's what he's asking us to do as well. Get up and call out. Don't sleep through this storm. And we can look at our life, our lives, this world, and think, the world's in a bit of a mess. There's a bit of a storm going on here, and we're not quite sure what's happening. The culture is crumbling and turning upside down. What do we do? There is a storm. We can either be below deck, sleeping, because we don't know what to do, or we can get up and call out to God. Prayer is the key for everything. The key for everything. Get up and call out. We have a mission. Jesus said to his disciples, he says to us, I want you to go into all the world and preach the good news. Because this is good news in the midst of a storm. This is about a Savior who can rescue us. This is not do's and don'ts. This is not a burden. This is relieving us. This is giving us freedom. We've got a message. And if we don't get up and call out, how will people know? Our family, our neighborhood, our workplace, our world. We've got this amazing mission. Get up. Call out. Tell them the gospel. How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. And look at this line. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish. Isn't that what the slaves did in Egypt? They called out to the Lord, hoping that God would take notice of them. And he always does. So that we might not perish. And isn't that what John 3:16 is all about? God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, that who believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is what these sailors, these pagan sailors, were looking for. We need someone who will rescue us, that we will not perish. Verse 7, then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. And they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. I remember, we still do it, if we're sitting around the table with the children, maybe particularly years ago when you were having your dinner or whatever, and you would get the knife. We did this in school as well. You spin the knife, you know, to see where it would, see who it would point to. You ever done that? Spin the knife to see where it lands, you know? Whoever the knife points to is washing the dishes, and you spin the knife, and it comes round, and it points to Debbie. And you say, well, let's make it 2 out of 3. So we spin the knife again, and it comes round towards Debbie, and she starts to edge away from the direction of the knife. But for Jonah, every time they spun that knife, it was pointing at Jonah. There was no doubt they can cast the lot, but God directs its path. It was Jonah. And that provoked rather a lot of questions just after that, didn't it? Look, so they asked him, tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? What are your people? So many questions, all these different people asking questions. I'm sure Jonah didn't know which question to ask first. Question, 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 because it was Jonah. They already knew, because he had told them, that he was fleeing from God. But what is going on? Who are you? Why is this happening? And then he says, verse 9, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. And then look at verse 10. This terrified them. Why do you think that terrified them? All he said was, I'm a Hebrew. I worship the Lord. Why were they so terrified? I'm sorry, Jenny. She's lovely. She's great. Don't worry about her crying, because we all love her. Why were they so terrified? Do you know why they were terrified? All these people worship their own gods. They're all praying to their own gods. People saw gods as very... they've all got their own parish. There's the god of the sky. There's the god of the land. There's a god that helps your crops grow. There's a god that brings the rain. But look what this god is. Who does Jonah worship? I worship the Lord who made the sea. Oh. No wonder they were terrified. You have upset the God who made the sea, and we are in a boat. What have you done? That's why they were terrified. I worship the Lord who made the sea and the land, and this terrified them, and they asked, what have you done? They knew he was running away from the Lord because he'd already told them. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they said, what should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us? Well, pick me up and throw me into the sea. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know that's my fault, and this great storm has come upon you. But verse 13, instead the men did their best to row back to the land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. The pagans were acting more honorably than the religious person. He said, if you throw me in, your trouble will be over. But they didn't want to do that. They didn't want to throw someone overboard. Why would you do this? Innocent man, as they called him. Instead, they rowed and rowed and rowed to try and get back to safety, to get the boat under control. But they couldn't do it. And yet they acted so honorably. Instead, the men did their best to row back to the land, but they couldn't. Verse 14, then they cried to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? These are those other sailors crying to Yahweh, not their God, but to the Lord. They cried to the Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, O Lord, for you, Yahweh, have done as you pleased. From the lips of people who don't believe in this God, there is great truth. Because God can do anything he wants to. He can save the Ninevites, the cruel, horrible Ninevites. He could do anything he wants to. And they prayed to him. They cried out to him. Isn't that amazing? Verse 15, then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. Did that settle the sailors down? Did they go, thank goodness that's over? Well, look at the next verse. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. It's a bit like, remember, the disciples were in the boat crossing Galilee and a storm blew up and they were scared stiff and they said, Lord, don't you care? And he got up and he said, peace, be still. And it was whoosh, calm. And the disciples were more scared then than they were before. They said, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? And that's how these guys felt as well. They threw Jonah overboard and it was calm. What kind of God can do this? What kind of God can throw down a storm and then whoosh and it's calm again? What kind of God? And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made a vow to him. So here are these pagan sailors who worship many other gods. Isn't it amazing that if Jonah had have gone to Nineveh, he wouldn't have gone to Joppa, and he wouldn't have got on that boat, and he wouldn't have had that interaction with those men who then called out to the true and living God, offered him a sacrifice, and made vows to him. If Jonah hadn't have gone here, what would their future have been like? Isn't that amazing how God can use all circumstances, even our running away, to bless others? Isn't that amazing? Nothing is wasted in God's economy and God's plans. It doesn't matter what you do, God's got a plan to bless, to heal, to forgive. Isn't that amazing? But then very finally, this even more amazing verse. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. Jonah probably had never been on the sea before, because the Hebrews were not sailors. Maybe he hadn't even seen the sea. He certainly had not been on a boat. He wasn't sent to swimming lessons when he was a kid. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. God used two things to save Jonah. And I want you to look in verse 17 that was just read, and also in verse 4. Could you see two things? Verse 4 and verse 17. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind. Verse 17, God provided a great fish. A great wind and a great fish. Jonah was running, but God was pursuing. His grace always pursues us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, Psalm 23. And the word does mean, surely goodness and mercy will pursue me all the days of my life. And that's what Jonah found to be true. God's grace pursued him. He sent a great wind and a great fish. This was his protection. And we're going to go into chapter 2 next week, which is an amazing chapter. But this is what God has done for us. We who are lost, we who are drowning in our sin, God has provided for us. Do you remember back Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son. And he took his son off to that mountainside and he prepared. But God provided a lamb. Took him to the edge and provided a lamb. And for us who are drowning in our sin, God has provided a lamb. God has provided a way out. A rescuer. Someone to scoop us up. Keep us safe. Isn't this an amazing chapter? Isn't this an amazing story? About a God who pursues, a God of grace, whose grace is bigger than we can even understand or imagine. And you might have a wonderful imagination, but it's not big enough. Because God is too big. But we catch a glimpse of his grace and his mercy and his love for those who are fleeing, for those who are running away, for those who are lost. He comes, he finds, he rescues. This is the God that we worship. That should put a spring in our step, shouldn't it? What an amazing God. We'll look at chapter 2 next week, which is even better.